Pickaxe.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello, chums, well wishers, haters, emailers, desperately hoping that theirs gets read out, and
bitches.
Creative sorts and bitches. Creative sorts.
Can't forget
because
the bitches.
This week we have quite
shout
a
out
lot
to the bitches.
Of quite a lot of creative stuff. So I'm gonna start off with five jingles.
Five jingles.
Jeez, none of these are AI.
Right.
And one of them I hate. And you have to guess which one. So
guess
this
which
is
one out of five jingles Flax hates. Gotcha.
Yeah. So this is a mailbag jingle. Let me just make sure I get the right person who sent it. This is from JD, long-time listener, first-time emailer.
Not our JD.
And a semi-drunk songwriter decided to have a few jars and put together a jingle for you guys. So this is a mailbag jingle by JD.
Mailbag jingle by JD. Vance?
.mp3, yes. Are you ready? We'll play it in 3, 2, 1, play.
Mailbag's back, let's talk shit once again.
Oh.
Let's go through your emails and see what you sent.
Oh, it's great.
Tyrion's the mailman, Sips is a monk. Lewis is the love child made from the cum. Back, let's talk shit once again. There isn't any judgment in. We're mostly friends.
Mostly friends.
That's mostly friends. I love how you were made by from cum. That's
from
nice.
Dad and mum. Yeah, dad and mum.
Dad and mum's cum. That's
very
true.
Nice. Oh,
I think that's the right sort of energy that
I
we
like
have in
that.
This podcast.
All right. Well, keep waiting because so this is Augie from Texas. Over 7 years ago, apparently we sat around to brainstorm a jingle and inspired by some lyrics and a nice tune that apparently I put together, the memory of this, as of yesterday, I finally recorded it.
Wow.
So this is called Three Fellas Talking or the Original Triforce Jingle. This is by Augie.
No way.
Three Fellas Talking.
Back in the day.
Yeah. 7 years ago. So pre-COVID, this was a jingle that we never got off the ground, but we were thinking about it. Right. Are you ready? We'll play it in 3, 2, 1, play.
It's got the record sound, the vinyl record.
Yeah.
Three fellas talking. Listen while you're walking. On the toilet or at work. Listen to it while you twerk. Just three fellas a talking.
I love that one. That's so
okay.
Good. That is so good.
It's amazing, but the thing is, that could apply to any podcast. Like,
that's why it's
million.
So good. We can rent it out. We can lease it out. We can lay it on for people. Yeah.
Franchise.
Augie, please send that to every other podcast that you can find.
Basically, every podcast is three guys talking.
And say to them, you guys, I just copy paste the email you sent to us. You know, just be like, hi, a big fan of the show. Just want to say, during the early days, you guys came up with a jingle. And you know, this is what I've, do you know what I mean? They just send them this because I genuinely think they will all play it and they will all think it was written for them.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I love that.
Maybe he's already doing that. Maybe he sends it to like everybody. You're a genius. Maybe it's like the same email. He just changes the names around. He sends it to like all of the podcasts. Yeah. Everybody's heard it. Everybody wants to use it. Everybody's had the same idea to send it around.
Like that fucking, there are, every podcast has the same three guys in it.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So this could be the new that. Right. Yeah. So this is from my friend Riley. Now, I know Riley, and I think you might know him.
I know Riley, Canadian Riley from Dota.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I know AKA Cock Wobblemeister.
Cock Wobblemeister.
One of whose replays, Lulu, I think we may have looked at back in the day when we used to do Scrub Dota.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, I can tell you're excited. This is Mailbag Country by Riley.
I know the guy. I've played games with him.
Yo, Riley famously threw my 20-game win streak. it was on New Year's Eve, and I joined a game with him, and we lost, and I'd won every single game before that, and I was so pissed off, and I vowed to play with him again.
Yes,
yeah,
I remember.
And you haven't.
It's like a mark of pride for him, that, by the way. Yeah, Riley, lovely, lovely lad. I've met him several times.
Yeah, he's
IRL,
a great guy, yeah.
Top lad, and a big fan. So he sent us three songs, and because Riley is a buddy, I'm going to play them all.
Okay, now, so the odds are that one of these,
could be, but yeah. I want you to bear something in mind, that Riley is not an editor. So just listen to the end of the song. There's some nice extra detail there. All right, here we go.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1, play.
Oh,
man.
Lewis, Ted, and Chris, Zephos, Flax, and Sips will answer your questions today.
I love it.
That's very country.
I love it.
Wait. Those extra mouse clicks.
Oh, yeah. And just like some farting and grunting. Yeah. Like, ugh.
All right.
He was like, that was a good take.
This is his second
I love effort. That. That's my favorite so far.
This is Mailbag Choral by Riley. All right. 3, 2, 1, play.
Triforce Mailbag.
And then just another unedited
clicking
5 seconds
long
on the end.
5 seconds. Yeah, it's fine, though. All right.
This
okay,
is
I like that.
Mailbag.
It's so pure.
This last one must be the hated one because I can't imagine you hating either
punk
of those.
Jingle.
That's
indeed.
The thing is that one is the Christmas one, right?
Yeah.
That's like, it's just so, it's
lovely.
Short, it's sweet.
Yeah.
He's got it. Like, we don't want no 2 minute
it
long.
Sounds like a jingle. It sounded a bit like the jingle from South Park way back in the day. Remember what was it? Like Kyle's mom's a bitch or something?
Yeah.
Kyle's mom is a bitch. It sounded like that. Yeah.
All right, ready? This is Mailbag Punk Jingle. 3, 2, 1, play. Now, there is a full 10 seconds of Riley clicking about here.
It's so distorted as well. It's like an assault on the ears.
Why is he kicking
I love,
that in?
I love a bit of punk, but I did not love that, Riley. Sorry.
That's the one you hate. That's the one you
hate.
That
is the one I hate. But I love Riley so well.
He's done it on purpose.
He did it on purpose, yeah.
It's very authentic. It's very like teenager in their garage kind of music.
I didn't realize he was so musical.
2000.
Yeah, I mean, no, Riley. Riley can play a lot of instruments. Sometimes he does it when we're playing Dota or something. If he's dead, I've definitely heard
him
play the guitar and stuff.
Probably explains why he's so terrible at Dota.
I was going to say, I wish he could apply some of those skills to Dota. Maybe I would have had a 21 win streak.
Mm.
Unlike most Dota players who have one hand on their cock. He has one hand on his guitar.
Nice. Damn.
Well, look, in terms of creativity, this is another one. Another creative. This is not a song. This is poetry. Someone's written us a poem.
Right.
This is a lad called Kurosh. Who claims to be a member of the Singapore Tiny Penis Crew. Love Singapore. So,
we
this
have
is
one
based
of those? We have a Singapore chapter of our.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Singapore chapter Tiny Penis going Crew. Strong. Going strong. They look after Lulu's gold. Remember
gold
he's got stashed in Singapore.
The eternal watch.
Gold
he's got all
there.
His gold there.
Yeah. All right. So this is basically because you didn't know what kimchi is, Sips.
Yeah.
This is a poem that Kurosh has written.
Right. Okay.
So are you ready?
Yeah.
It's quite long, but it's excellent.
Okay.
Sips. Man of stature, 6'2". If you squint and he's wearing his Cuban heels. Margarita pizza, pasta, and rice. Plain. No basil, no drizzle, no truffle. Whispering continental seduction. Just cheese, just tomato, disc of edible beige.
Oh.
Thursday. He's offered a pad thai. Declines it, politely. A little bow to the microwave. Saturday. Sees Korean barbecue on Love Island. He Googles kimchi, closes tab, opens freezer, finds solace in Iceland brand wedges, £1.49, comfort in carbohydrate geometry. Mm. He will never know the fizz, the crunch, the weird, wonderful what the hell is that of fermented cabbage. Will never feel the mild panic of Scoville flirtation on a Tuesday night. Will never meet a Korean grandmother and disappoint her, brackets not directly but spiritually, close brackets. Mm. Sips, live simply, eat simply. Dreams in Pantone 1235C, the official color of cheddar.
Yes.
Somewhere, a jar of kimchi weeps silently behind a Waitrose pane. Sips doesn't notice.
This guy gets
He's
me.
Got chips, and the oven timer's pinging like a tiny hopeful bell. That's it. I thought it was excellent.
This guy knows me. This guy
he knows.
He must know him. That's perfect.
It's so such a good poem. Oh, I loved it.
I think I must have like the blandest palate out of everyone I know. Also, I'm probably the least adventurous food person out of everyone I know. Indeed. The thing is I'm not very fussy. Like if you put something in front of me, I'll eat it. I just won't seek anything out. Like, you know, like I'm very sort of, you know, like I eat to live. I don't live to eat, you know, like I just want, just give me some carbs and I'll be on my way. Like I just, you know what I mean? It's not it's not like a fussy thing, you know? Like, I'm not the dude that just eats a mountain of cheddar cheese. I will eat something. If you put it in front of me, if you make it for me and put it in front of me, I'll eat it.
He's going to eat it.
Yeah. I'll eat it for sure. I just wouldn't be able to tell you what it was after.
Yeah.
And I might be a bit like,
if someone asked you what
again.
You wanted, if someone asked you what you wanted, you'd pick something, you know, one of the Sips classics.
I would just say, like, just a sandwich or something, you know?
Just
like,
give me a sandwich.
Anything.
Yeah. And they
just nourish me somehow.
This is a highfalutin, 3 Michelin starred restaurant. Yeah, just give me a sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not into all that. You know, I know I get why people are into it and why they like it and stuff. It's not a thing I've ever really been interested in, you know? Like, I don't really watch, like, cooking shows or anything like that, you know? Just give me some bread and water, I'm fine.
We don't need it.
There you go. Get him in the cell right
well,
now.
Well, I do eat. I mean, you don't get this fat by not eating.
This leads into nicely into today's mailbag, right? Food stuff.
Food stuff. Is it the
food
stuff mailbag?
No, we're not doing that this week.
Oh, we're not doing that this week.
No, we're doing a regular one. Nice attempt. Okay.
Risky.
So,
Risky
B-Flex segue. Has put together a list of your emails, of which there are hundreds.
Yes. Well, not hundreds, thousands. But I was exaggerating. But a lot of weird eating emails. A lot. So I put them in a folder and we can just do a weird eating special.
But I don't think we can. Yeah.
What?
I don't think we can. I'll have to have like a trigger warning on the front of it.
Yeah, that's so what I'm saying. It'll be a listed toxic episode. This is weird eating. Listen at your peril and not whilst having bread and water.
Okay, this is not the weird eating episode.
No, this is just regular emails.
It needs more planning. It needs more time to cook.
Exactly. And also, if you have more weird eatings, get them in. Keep them short and sweet. No backstories.
Yeah.
No life
like the
histories.
Jingles.
Just keep them short and sweet.
10 seconds with 5 seconds of silence trailing is perfect.
Yeah.
A couple of clicks, so maybe a grunt.
This is a follow-up.
Maybe a grunt.
You responded. This is Rebecca works in restaurants.
Right.
And this was about frozen food. And Lou was complaining about frozen food. This was off the back of a discussion about how Gordon Ramsay always complains about things being frozen. Do you remember this, Lulu?
Yes, sure.
All right. Maybe. So this is a subject on Lewis's spicy response to my previous email. Thank you for reading my email. As Mr. Brindley stated, it was an incredibly boring email.
Wow.
So I was surprised to hear it read. Slow week, eh? However, Mr. Brindley's poor listening comprehension was not surprising. Vegans often suffer from vitamin deficiencies that can cause memory problems and confusion, so I completely understand. The point of my original email was to potentially bring awareness to better freezing practices that exist and the fact that restaurants can be successful, serve good food, and use some frozen products. Not trying to have a frozen beef with Gordon. He strives for the absolute best. I get it. I've just found many often don't know how fresh things truly are in restaurants. But foolish woman am I, for I'd forgotten Mr. Brindley knows all there is to know about the world already. I offer my sincerest apologies for such a ghastly error. In a perfect world, we'd be all living in Gordon's No Freezer Dream. If fresher were cheaper, less restaurants would do only that. It's just simply not practical in most cases for a variety of reasons, including increased food rates, though generally we strive to serve as much fresh as possible in our restaurant. P.S. My shit-talking of vegans and Lewis is just in jest. I love the podcast. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, you silly woman. And it's about time that you did recognize that Lewis does know everything. Okay?
Oh man, you silly woman.
It's like I've been dressed down by my mother.
Well, there you go.
It's good to be put in your place sometimes.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, it's good. Tom, it's right.
Thank you.
It's humbling.
Thank you, Rebecca.
All right. So this is from longtime fan Jake. This is a Jean-Guy Tupperware related email.
Fuck, sure. Fantastic.
I was listening to Triforce 321. You guys were discussing the origins of Jean-Guy Tupperware, and it turns out it's a unique regional term for a French Canadian man. This sparked a connection for me as I also grew up hearing a similar wacky name.
Yeah.
Growing up in my area, you might give the name Giuseppe Comasedice to a spam caller, or just to refer to a generic Italian American man.
Yes.
Another one, probably more common. Commonly known and frequently used by one of my science teachers growing up, was Joey Bag of Donuts.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He would also say Johnny Boxerox.
Yeah, Tony Baloney. There's a whole bunch of those ones. Yeah,
Giuseppe Comasedice is really funny.
That's funny. It was very much. It was like Jean-Guy Tupperware. Again, if somebody cold call you, you know, like telemarketing or whatever. You'd bust out a Jean-Guy Tupperware every once in a while as well. Like,
of
it was
course.
Just...
Giuseppe Comodice. What is it?
Comodice.
Comodice.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I like that.
Yeah, I love it.
This is a nice little email for you, Lulu. The question for you. This is from Michael. In the song "Girl So Confusing" featuring Lorde, Charlie XCX says, "Forgot that inside the icon, there's still a young girl from Essex," talking about referring to herself. "I cannot stop thinking there exists a world where Lewis and Charlie XCX have crossed paths. Does Lewis know Charlie XCX? What about Billy Bragg?"
These are current pop stars who are probably...
Charlie XCX is.
Right.
Billy Bragg is very old. Let's have a look. Charlie XCX.
Charlie XCX is her
name. She was born in 92.
Right.
Charlotte Emma Aitchison. She was born in Cambridge, which is not in Essex.
So when she was a little tiny newborn baby, Lewis is already 10. Lewis is already smoking in the boys' room.
She grew up in Start Hill, Essex. Do you know where that is?
Start Hill.
Yeah.
No, but it's Start Bishop
Hill
Stortford. So
that's where the smoking
very,
took
very
place.
West. Very
Bishop
West.
Bishop Stortford
Essex.
Is very posh Essex. That is not
Essex. Shart Hill.
Start
Hill.
Yeah, Shart Hill.
Nice.
She ain't no Essex girl.
All right, there you go. She ain't
sorry,
no Essex
Charlie.
Girl.
Sorry, Charlie. Bishop Stortford and Cambridge, give me a break.
Yeah, that's pretty fancy, isn't it?
Lewis, do you ever think of yourself? Do you ever think behind the icon is a young Essex boy?
Well, you can listen to old... Did I tell this recently? I'm sure I've talked about it before, but you can obviously listen to old episodes of my podcasts and videos, and I sound completely different. And I'm almost shocked. I sound much more Essex in those. But that was after, that was after 5 or 6 years of leaving, to go to uni and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of my accent went from, but there's actually a video my mum found of on a DVD of me helping out at a local village fete. And I'm running like a Splat the Rat stall.
Roll on up and splat that rat, you cunt. Was that you?
It is me. Oh my god, I am so Essex in it. And it's almost like this is a different person. I'm so embarrassed by it. Honestly.
Are you like, oi oi ladies? Whoa! Like that kind of Essex.
I think mostly it's me interacting with little kids and I'm sort of being nice to them, because Splat the Rat's a bit of a, I don't know if you know, it's like basically there's
a
drain pipe.
It's a drain pipe. Yeah.
And you drop a soft toy down it, and the kid has to time it so they smash it when it comes out of the tube.
Yeah.
It's quite hard.
It is hard.
It's dropping quite fast. And so, it's
so
one of those.
To give people who are not British, and presumably are under 30 maybe in British, this is a thing that you'd have at a village fete. Or some kind of a church fair,
along
and
with
it is
a
literally a piece of drain pipe, and then the sort of elbow of the drain pipe exits, and then you have a bit more of a sort of half pipe, And the rat is generally looks like an old pair of tights stuffed with something, you know, old fabric or whatever that's brown. And then you tie up one end and you drop it and it shoots down and you have to whack it with, I think it was a rounder's bat normally.
It usually was a rounder's bat. Yeah. And it's just one of these games for kids that isn't really supposed to make any money. It's just there for fun.
Yeah.
And I know. And also what this thing is it gets put away in the village hall shed and brought out every year
for
the village fete. And that thing is probably still being used from 30 or 40 years ago. Just Doddinghurst village fete are probably still using the same fucking...
Doddinghurst village. How about that? Doddinghurst.
That's where I grew up. It's a nice little village.
You grew up in Doddinghurst?
He did.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Doddinghurst is quite big.
Yeah, it's a nice little... Well, it's got...
It's certainly bigger than the likes of Kelvedon Hatch or Stondon Massey, let alone Swallows Cross. If you go to Swallows Cross, you'd be like, oh, I headed into big city today. You head to Doddinghurst. Look after yourself. Of course, that's not how they sound in Essex, but it is very nice.
Oh my God, the Wikipedia article for Doddinghurst has me in it.
No. Does it actually?
Yeah, notable people. Lewis Brindley.
Boom. I mean, yay. Notable people. It's just you and the notable people. You're the only notable person to come out of Doddinghurst.
Yeah, well, it's not, you know.
It's old. Not, it was in the Doomsday Book, mate.
I know. It's exciting. The name meaning the Wood of Dudder.
Good old
of
Dudder.
His people. Dudder's Wood.
Dudder's Wood.
I'm looking at notable people from Twickenham. And guess who's on the list?
Not me.
You guessed it. Tony Blair. He's right there.
Tony Blair. Yeah, there he is. Yeah,
he is there.
Where's the people? Steve Allen.
There's a lot of people on here.
Peter Salas.
Bryden. Michael Fish.
Yeah.
Tons of interesting people.
Dirty Dan from EastEnders.
Panufnik.
Yeah, Roxana Panufnik. Whoever that is. Pete Townsend.
The nonce. Pete Townsend, yeah.
Amazing. You know, loads of people, loads of historical figures too. Oh my God, so many.
It says here Tony Blair lived in Twickenham in 1972. I'm yawning and talking. 1972.
Alfred Lord Tennyson, Alexander Pope.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's a bit more of a highfalutin crowd than Doddinghurst, isn't it?
So some of the people they're listing here, it's not really Twickenham. Some of them are more, I mean, for example, they list Keely Hawes and Matthew McFadyen. That's Strawberry Hill. They're at Strawberry Hill. They're not in Twickenham. They're in Strawberry Hill. And I'm sure they would announce that difference. Anyway.
They ain't no Charlie XCX, kid from Twickenham.
Yeah. Let's bosh through the next one.
What about a list of people from Ottawa? You don't want to do that one?
Sorry, brother. Oh, you're right. That's rude of me.
That's rude. It's rude of both of us too.
I just
assumed
so
the
big.
List would be
Alanis Morissette,
rather long.
Matthew
due
Perry,
to Ottawa being
Alex
the
Trebek,
capital city of Canada.
Just to name a few. Justin Trudeau, obviously.
There you are. You're there.
Norm Macdonald.
Under L.
Yeah, I'm there. Dan Aykroyd.
There you go.
Sorry, I just set you up because I knew I was there. I don't know why I'm there.
Alongside the likes of Norm Macdonald and all kinds of amazing people.
Oh, wow, you're actually on here. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. There's no picture of you, though.
No, there doesn't need to be. It's fine.
Here's a name. J.B. Turgeon. The French-Canadian mayor of Bytown.
Bruce
Coburn.
Born
in Terrebonne, Quebec in 1810. Came to Bytown in around 1836. Yes, I'm J.B. Turgeon. That's a great name. Holy shit.
Paul Anka.
Alex Munter.
Yeah.
One name.
All right, let's do the next one. This is about Great Yarmouth. We may have spoken about Great Yarmouth at one point. Apparently we did. And here is Rex with an email. I was born in Great Yarmouth, raised in Lowestoft, just south of Yarko, whatever that is. My family have lived in the area for centuries. Yes, we're probably inbred. My great-great-granddad was even mayor of Yarmouth for a bit. I can tell you Yarmouth is pretty rough, has a local reputation for being run down and all the problems that comes with a deprived seaside town of yesteryear. There was even a Bulgarian spy cell that got busted in Yarmouth last year. But tell the lad from Maidenhead to go, bring some life and love, and help old Yarmouth get back on its feet. I can praise the area around Yarmouth, which is stunning. Check out Scratby Beach and the ancient Roman castle in Burgh. Also, Holcombe Beach in North Norfolk, which in my opinion is Norfolk's jewel. Anyway, I do love my home, but Norfolk and Suffolk do have that problem of being so cut off from the rest of the country. There are no M roads in Norfolk. Oh, I left home a few years ago to go to uni in Bristol, where I bumped into a few yogs, mainly Tom and Harry. Ah, so you go to the pub. So there you go.
There you go.
So yeah, that's an East Anglian correspondent, Rex, advising someone to go to Yarmouth because even though it's rough, they might be able to help bring back the glory days. I have more Yarmouth-related emails and some Isle of Wight emails because we slagged off the Isle of Wight, or I did at least. And someone emailed in, Michael emailed in previously and wanted to know about Great Yarmouth because he might be living there. Unlike other Michael, this is a Michael writing in response to a Michael. I've had the displeasure of living in one of the Yarmouth suburbs. So I spent a lot of time in Yarmouth itself. Let me tell you, it's a fucking shithole. Once you scratch past the veneer of the seafront and town centre, which are not exactly amazing, there is a palpable sadness in the air. The poverty cannot be overstated. And it genuinely feels unsafe if you step a single foot outside the main shopping areas or seafront. Run-down buildings everywhere, closed shop fronts, and a half-empty shopping mall full of chavs and nasty little utes. There are some pros, however, in that the house prices are dirt cheap for England, which is because no one wants to live there due to its shittiness. It is fun for a day out, but keep it like that and do not live here, please. One particular highlight I feel you guys would appreciate is that there is an arcade attached to the model village that has an entire area dedicated to old-style mechanical arcade games, which all use half pennies. You can buy 12 of them for a quid to play all these games. There you go. So there have been rumblings about regeneration ever since I've been around, but I wouldn't believe them. So there you go. Don't go is the advice from other Michael. So Michael, you've got two to choose from.
Right.
Yay or nay?
Sounds like a nay.
Yeah.
Bob?
Well, I imagine this is the same way for many places. There's areas of Bristol that you don't want to go
yeah.
to. There's areas, I'm sure, of Twickenham. Maybe not.
No, that's really not.
That you don't want to go to. There's areas of Jersey that are more run down, aren't there?
Sips, not really.
Need a bit of love.
I wouldn't say run down. There's some parts of Jersey where there isn't like a mansion with 20 Ferraris outside of it. And then you just think, wow, where am I? I feel like I could be anywhere right now. And then you take five more steps and you're like, no, I'm back in Jersey because you see a mansion with like 20 Ferraris outside of it. So
I see.
It's,
and there's like an old steam train going by or something.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I think it's bigger places, right? Bigger cities will always have parts of it that tourists won't really want to go to or need to go to. And maybe there's more trouble happening there, but I don't know. But that, I think in a lot of places, a lot of cities, well, in the Western world, I'd say at least, and maybe not America, because I think American cities sometimes can be a bit dangerous. But like, for the most part, I think there's places you can go if you're just visiting, and they're mostly fine. You know,
yeah. I've dropped a few. I've been dropping a few Street View pins around Great Yarmouth. It doesn't look all that fucking awful. I mean, compared to some shitholes I've seen on GeoGuessr.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Anyway, what about the Isle of Wight? My brother lives there. He likes
it. Okay. Well, just quickly,
a little update from
someone. Those oily black birds with yellow beaks in Sips's backyard were European starlings.
Right.
So there you go.
Sips. Right.
I saw a baby starling in that case. Devoured whole by a seagull one time at the zoo. I had my kids at the zoo and we were looking at the flamingos and the kids were like, God, we got to get out of here. It really stinks. And then a seagull swooped down and ate, completely just devoured a baby starling. The mother was just going insane.
Yeah.
I don't know if the baby ever came out again because I just... my kids.
Oh no, that's gone.
I think my kids might have seen it, but I was like, okay, let's go. It stinks. Like, we'll carry on because it's like it's kind of upsetting. You know, nature is incredible, but really fucking cruel as well, isn't it?
That's it is a red in tooth and claw, as they say.
Yeah.
Although the pigeon that's on my windowsill right now, who I've been feeding for the last month and a half, he's not red in tooth and claw. He's perfectly chill. Him and his wife stop by three times a day for seeds.
Nice.
It's costing me £3 a week to feed these pigeons. Anyway.
Terry slept outside last night. He burrowed slightly into the ground and he had...
You couldn't find him?
No. Gee, just the front of their shell, like for their head. They kind of like dig a little ditch and then they use it as like their breathing creates like a bit of moisture, like around like the walls of the ditch for them. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know how they know how to do all this shit, but he does it.
Just
he's not been instinct. Shown how to do anything. he just instinctively knows how to do all this shit. But man, he was so happy when I saw him this morning. Like, I went outside to check on him, and he was just like stomping around. He seemed pretty.
I wonder if it's because it was hot, maybe.
The weather's really nice over here, so it was like, it was humid overnight as well. It was muggy. So,
oh, he likes that. Yeah. He loves it.
He loves it. Yeah, and it's hot today. It's like the sun is boiling. It's like it's 20, but it feels like it's 30. You know, like with the sun.
Going online without ExpressVPN is like driving without car insurance. You might be a great driver, but it's all the other crazy people you got to look out for. So why would you take that risk? Each time you connect to an unencrypted network, you know, in a hotel or an airport, your online data is not secure, PFLAX.
So you're saying if I wanted to look at my Instagram feed, the people that I follow, I could do it in a private way and no one would know about it?
Yes, absolutely. That would be if you wanted to use ExpressVPN. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. So only a hacker with a supercomputer and over a billion years to spare will be able to see what you're looking at by getting past ExpressVPN's encryption.
Is it easy to use?
It is, Sips. You can just fire up the app, click one button, and get protected. I use it. I'm using it right now. I feel much more confident knowing that my online activity is private. And so, yes, you can secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/triforce. That's expressvpn.com/triforce to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months for free.
Wow.
expressvpn.com/triforce. On with the show.
All right. Here's an email from Dale. I'm not about to do the classic furious outrage email at your derogatory comments towards the island where I reside.
The Isle of Wight?
Your comment that stepping foot onto this rock is like going back in time is totally accurate. I mean, we don't even have a Greggs here. No. So really, what is the point? I'd actually be interested to know just how many island residents are Triforce fans, since there's only about 145,000 people here, and maybe even if any take the time to send you the pitchforks and torches equivalent of an email defending it, which they shouldn't.
That's the only real notable
things. Yeah, the only real notable things about the island are the Needles, which is a rock formation, and presumably drug addicts, and the fact our prison is and has been home to almost every notorious paedophile in history. However, I think Sips was right, and you three should come visit. There are plenty of little studios you can rent to record from. There's probably even a boat somewhere you could use. The car ferry is usually an hour-long crossing, and you'll need something to fill what feels like an eternity doing so.
Oh my god.
The island feels like the ultimate place for Lewis to enjoy, as virtually nothing ever happens, and there's a lot to see if you like arcades, piers, and roadworks. The most dangerous wildlife here is puff adders, and no one's got a gun unless you visit Black Gang Chine's Cowboy Town. So it's already got one up on both Australia and Wisconsin. I think the three of you would make a good weekend of it on the island.
We could visit Lewis's brother, who lives there, allegedly.
Yeah, he does.
No thanks.
You don't want to meet Lewis's bro, real bro?
There's a catamaran that goes that's quicker, I think, than the car ferry. You don't have to take that.
Does that one take cars?
No, I don't think so.
Where do you catch that boat from?
Southampton, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
I suppose you would.
Yeah. It's 22 minutes.
Yeah.
22 minutes.
But I'd guess Southampton.
Early time
22
to watch,
minutes to get from Southampton. Yeah, you can't even watch an episode of Simpsons in that time.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right. This is another Isle of Wight email. This is from Liam. While Pyrian's assessment of the Isle of Wight was pretty scathing, I appreciate sweeping criticisms of things we're scarcely familiar with. For the provision of laughter is a cornerstone of British culture, and I'm all for it. I'm a journalist, and I cover a great deal of court, so I get to spend a lot of time with some of the Isle of Wight's best and brightest. You might be interested to learn. Sex offenders fill the wings of our prison almost exclusively, save for those on remand, and cases concerning paedophiles and kindred offenders are frighteningly frequent. But on a lighter note, I'm a fly on the wall for many cases, and whilst most people shrink on arrival, the odd one is quite vocal. One which lives long in the memory is the gentleman who, apropos of nothing, decided to call the judge a wiggy cunt.
Wow.
For context, it was during a murder trial, and the man had no connection to the case whatsoever. Presumably, he just wanted to burn some time in the public gallery. The jury asked to retire for the day because it was too hot, and the judge granted them leave. At this point, the man, hitherto silent, lost the plot. He called the judge a wiggy cunt and a pedo, and told him he should pay for air conditioning out of his enormous salary. He was held in contempt of court, apologized, and the judge was persuaded not to take any further action. That should have been the end of it, but the silly goose decided to brag about his great escape on social media, inviting people to message him for further life tips. Naturally, he found himself back before the same judge, who in no time at all jailed him for 8 weeks.
Wow.
If you do end up visiting our quaint little hellscape, please get in touch. It would make a fun feature. All right, thank you, Liam.
Jesus Christ. Eight weeks in jail.
Yeah, I mean, if you contempt of court is no joke. I mean, that's how you maintain decorum and get justice, is that people aren't allowed to call judge a wiggy cunt and shout shit out and disrupt proceedings. You shut the fuck up.
What about my liberties and my free speech, though? I mean,
freedom of speech does not extend to calling the judge a cunt in the middle of a murder trial.
There's a very specific line in the law that says you cannot call a judge a wiggy cunt.
All right, this is Anonymous Bosch, who has emailed in regarding the gorillas versus people.
Yes.
One versus 100.
Oh,
so
Christ.
We don't want to drag this up again, but this is
interesting.
As far as it'll do. I will just say, I've had this a few times. I want to put this in so people stop saying it. Someone obviously put out a good thread on fucking dogshit Twitter or whatever. So we all thought the gorilla would win pretty easily. So this guy looked into it, and there is a popular Twitter thread on the topic by someone with a monkey degree, okay?
A monkey degree.
Monkey degree. And they basically said, a gorilla doesn't have anywhere near enough endurance to kill that many people. It's still made of flesh, just like us. And that although people may think of this gorilla as a video game mini boss, where it can keep going and going, that's just not realistic. So essentially, the gorilla would be very scary, but would get tired quickly, and would, of course, every kick and punch is wearing it down. So that's one suggestion. And
what about a gorilla
like
on
draw,
cocaine, though?
Well, or just
that's a different
up on goofballs. Who knows? That's such
what
a
is your
weird
monkey degree
sound.
Now?
Yeah, I got your monkey degree. Tears degree up in front of him. All right, so that's the end of the gorilla thing.
That's a
please.
Good rational answer to it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Okay, I like that.
So sure. This is from a lad who is an AI wrangler.
Right.
Okay. So because we've spoken about AI in both negative and positive ways in recent episodes. So this is his email. Before I start, I want to add, I am not an AI bro. It interests me as a tool, like scanning 400 research papers for statistics rather than reading them all by myself. I agree with the sentiment that it is the average middle of the road distillation of whatever it is doing, or however we described it in the last episode. For creative purposes, I think it's mostly useless, but it perhaps can free us of the paperwork shackles we've built in our modern world. I would agree with that. Now, for my job, it is a lot about what to do with the AI models when they do not keep to the flat, average, middle-of-the-road, spiritless bullshit. When the models veer away into being a little too creative, too helpful, and willing to engage with users who ask it for wild and inappropriate things. I'm typically presented with two or three anonymous models and have instructions to evaluate the safety, logic, reasoning, and so on of the various models. Can be fun, like a recent project that was about the inner nature of animals. Some of the rule-breaking free-thinking models, when asked about hedgehog psychology, started telling me that hedgehogs often feel morose and introspective in the evenings.
Really?
Which is bizarre.
That is bizarre.
The less whimsical project can be stuff like giving the AI a picture of a railway and asking what happens if I weld a triangular steel wedge onto the track. Companies don't want their models to tell users to do dangerous things or be used to plan criminal activities. There is a huge focus to make the models danger aware and avoid engaging in these subjects. One model, when given a photo of a rusted World War I hand grenade that I found in the garden, told me to dispose of it in the metal recycling box to keep in line with local regulations. There seems to be okay. Some hidden balance between being safe and being helpful. So the fully uncensored, no safeguards at all models are sometimes telling people like to do downright dangerous things, like the funny ones, like put glue on pizza to stop the cheese sliding off, etc., etc. So
yeah,
there's all kinds of things that it's coming up with that are stupid. We were talking about this. Did we talk about this on the podcast yesterday? That if you look for John Travolta, 1992.
Yes, we did.
92.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's the kind of thing where the truth is just vanishing before our eyes and that the AI is ruining it. So it's nice to know there are people out there trying to wrangle it, but good luck.
Well, here's the thing. Like, they've already got a finger on the scale, right? Like, AI is already being controlled by what it can and cannot do behind the scenes, especially in China with those ones that are being developed. You know, you see people typing in something about Tiananmen Square or whatever, and it will start
sort of answering your question, then it will self-censor itself and delete what it's written, kind of thing. You can see it happening in real time, yeah. But it's like, so there's already influences being put on it to, like, basically hamstring it, but also to control it, right? Like, to stop it from doing things that are clearly... Because I think also so much of it was trained on the internet, which is full of racist, fascist cunts.
Yeah.
And as a result, like, I think it makes sense that, like, it would be incredibly racist. Yeah. I think we've always known that there's this undercurrent of racism in our society, right? And then things socially are not, you know, as free and diverse as we'd like them to be. Like, it's the classic example. I don't know if this was, I remember talking about this on the podcast before, but it was like that. They asked, you know, little girls, which of these two dolls, the black doll or the white doll, is the good doll? And overwhelmingly, they picked the white doll. So there is this idea, and even little black girls would pick the white doll and say that was the good doll, you know, and that the other one was the bad doll. And so it was the idea that there's this inherent bias in society.
Of course.
I'm absolutely sure AI has picked up on that.
Yeah, right? 100%.
I mean, even in our language, you know, we consider white to be pure and good and black to be dark and
your
satanic.
Your black heart and stuff, right? Like that, yeah.
It's this kind of racism is inherent to how we have a society, and it's of course it's going to be seen with AI. And so people have to step in and try and fetter it.
They
right?
do, but the problem is then you get these assholes complaining that tech companies are censoring the AI. So then they say, oh, no, we won't do that. And you have openly racist AI, which I'm sure is going to be a big thing. And that becomes a thing that it now tells people facts and truth. And your AI overview might say, oh, yeah, you know, here's a racist fact of the day for you. It's like, what the fuck is going on? So I think it's pretty scary. This is about Britney Spears. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Like the whiplash of these things is so funny.
That caught
Long
me
time
off
listener. I'm okay. on a seven-hour car ride from Maryland to Ohio. That's a way. And Britney Spears popped up on the radio, and it made me think of a conversation you guys had a while ago, basically summed up as, who even listens to Britney Spears? If it's okay, I just wanted to add a bit to the conversation. I am not a professional in music studies, but I am a 28-year-old queer woman that consumes a lot of pop music. I feel like Britney is known as an American sweetheart and gained popularity first with being on the Mickey Mouse Club and created a series of albums that gained big popularity with young girls within my age demographic. I also see her kind of as our Kylie Minogue. Though Kylie is far more accomplished album-wise than Britney, this is the only thing I can think of similarity-wise when it comes to popularity based on region. Kylie is way more well-known in the UK, while Britney is not, and vice versa, with the exception of the queer community that consumes a lot of both their music regardless of region.
Oh, I think Britney is well-known in the UK, though.
Britney is very well-known in the UK.
Yeah, I would say as well-known as Kylie.
Oh, easily. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, to be very clear, when I'm saying who listens to her, I'm meaning who listens to her new stuff now.
Is she releasing new stuff?
I assume so.
Of course.
Britney is releasing new stuff.
I guess who's listening to it?
Britney fans. Yeah. We know that, though. We know. Well, I get it, right? Like, it's the same thing Harry said the other day on the Pokemon thing. It was like, every Pokemon is someone's favorite. And therefore, you know, Britney does have fans. We're not disclosing that. But also, I think it's, and that is a lot of influences from nostalgia and from, you know, like you were a big fan of the music growing up and it influenced you, or it was playing around the time when you were, you know, it resonated with you. And there's no reason that it shouldn't. I think it is seen, though, as very manufactured early 2000s crap pop, right? Teen pop. That's okay. Maybe that's the music you listen to. I don't.
So there is, in my opinion, if you look at some of the early Britney Spears stuff, it's got pedo undertones to it, I would suggest. Certainly a lot of the videos, if you look. I mean, when she's...
Send us to the Isle of Wight.
Dude,
the new Britney Spears
Isle of Wight tour. Producers
we're
going to
do all the prisons.
Yeah. I don't know if you
she's
saw
gonna,
the video
she's
where she's...
going to call the judge a wiggy cunt.
Dude, she's in school uniform, dancing in a very suggestive way with a bunch of other high school girls dancing in suggestive
that
ways.
Is, and there was, what's that one is hit me, baby.
One more time.
One
yeah,
more
so she wants
time.
A man to hit her.
No, okay.
To beat her.
No, let's go through this. Hang on a second.
Beat
me, baby,
young whore
one more
is
time.
What the music is saying.
Okay, here are the lyrics. Okay. Ready? The intro is "Oh baby,
oh
baby,
baby." Baby. Yeah. Yeah.
Verse one: "Oh baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? Oh baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go, and now you're out of sight." Yeah. Okay. What does that mean? Something wasn't right. Maybe there was some
hitting.
Something
wasn't right. Is a teacher who's into rough sex is basically fucking a young Britney Spears, is what I can gather from those lyrics.
Right.
Well, it was a different time. it was a time of pedos.
Look at the cover for "Hit Me Baby One More Time."
Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Look, this is the cover. Hold on, let me send it to the right channel.
Who wrote this song?
Look. So look at this. Look at this image of Britney Spears that I'm uploading now. That's the cover for the single "Britney Spears Baby One More Time." She's on her knees, looking up at you. I'm just saying, it's hyper-sexualized imagery of a young woman. And
well, listen,
it was written by a now 54-year-old man.
Yeah, disgusting.
You don't see it as much now, but it certainly was a thing to sexualize schoolgirls and I'm sure a lot of people, it's probably still a fetish to see the school uniform.
Right,
and all this,
are you
right?
ready like, for this one?
Don't
I remember don't. This image might have been an FHM. That is shockingly pedo bait, this image. For anyone that wants to know, type in Britney Spears bicycle into Google. You will find a picture of her wearing a stripper outfit and pushing a child's pink bicycle, looking back over her shoulder whilst next to a road. And it's getting towards nighttime, as if she shouldn't be out this late. And you've caught her on her way home. Pop her in the back of the van and away you go. That is what this image is saying.
Jesus.
This is pedo bait. It's scary.
So around about the same time as Britney was being a big deal in America, we had the Cheeky Girls.
Yes. Now, they're still going strong, by the way.
They are.
They're still performing and everything. Yeah.
So do you know what they are doing, by the way, the Cheeky Girls? They work in Hyundai dealerships as their day job. So each of them has a job in a different Hyundai. And they're quite good salesmen, apparently. They sell a lot of cars.
So wait. They're just selling cars. They're not singing the Cheeky Girls songs.
They're not professional singers. They have one song.
Yeah.
And apparently, yes, that thing you saw on Reddit with them performing, they actually had to like go off stage and like press play on the tape. Do you know what I mean? They don't even have like a manager or an assistant or anything. They just go to these like events for fun. They go and sing their one song, and they're kind of, I mean, they obviously they've faced bankruptcy and things a few times because, you know, they've not like made that much money off this manufactured song, right, which was owned by all sorts of other people, right?
Was it Lembit Opik that owned the rights to the song? Because he went out with one of them or both of them?
I remember seeing him with both of them.
I think.
Yeah, because they travel
getting
around
getting extra
as a pair.
Cheeky.
That's the most British thing ever, isn't it? That, you know, our a guy called Lembit Opik, who I assume had some like Scandinavian roots.
Estonian, because they're Estonian. They're
Romanian.
Oh, really? Because so Lembit Opik, his grandfather was Estonian astronomer and astrophysicist.
He's 60 years old.
Sure.
His latest tweet on X is, "Was Israel wrong to bomb Iran?" This was 2 hours ago. So he's still
fucking,
he's still doing, he's still out there.
But look at this. He went out with Sean Lloyd as well.
No.
Sean Lloyd.
Yeah, from BBC Breakfast. She's left
how
now.
How do these people do this?
Lembit Opik and
tell
me.
How has he done this?
Look at this guy. Look
how
at
is he
face.
Pulling one of the Cheeky Girls and then Sean Lloyd?
I don't know. This is ridiculous.
Do you know who
Lembit Opik is, Google him right now and tell me that there is any planet where Sean Lloyd
It's like Pete Davidson, isn't it?
He is.
He's
Wales
answer
like
the British
to Pete
Davidson.
Davidson. Yeah.
Somehow dating like one hot woman and then all the other hot women just queue up behind them, apparently.
Yeah. They're like, wow.
It's insane.
He must be really, really charming.
Oh,
just incredibly charming.
Did you know that on the 13th of April, 1998, he almost died in a paragliding accident?
I just read the same article.
Onto a Welsh mountain in his constituency and broke his back in 12 places.
Good God!
As well as his ribs, sternum, and jaw.
That's your whole...
Jesus.
That's all of it.
That's
how many
like
bits
all
are
of
there?
The back.
That's the whole thing.
Like just... every...
joint was broken. How can you do that?
Fell apart like a loose xylophone. That's terrible.
Oh, they almost married Sean Lloyd and Lambert Opick. Oh, they came close to marrying, but she ended the relationship in October 2006. And made unflattering comments about Opick in her autobiography, A Funny Kind of Love. I wonder who... I like Sean Lloyd, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Who's buying that autobiography?
Oh, yeah, seriously, come on,
Jesus
Sean.
Christ.
No one gives a shit.
Oh, this is... he was with Sean Lloyd, and then he got together with Gabriella Iremia of pop music double act The Cheeky Girls, and they split up in July 2008 after a difficult period in the relationship. The difficult period was she realized he's Lambic Opic.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
Oh man.
All right, this is from Dylan. Hey guys, just wanted to share some stories about my time as a Hooters line chef in near Toronto in Canada.
Nice.
Okay. I am not a waitress. I apologize.
No, it's fine.
You didn't have your tits out when you were doing the cooking.
My penis is small. My vagina is not gaping. Firstly, the regulars that came in, yes, Hooters has regulars, were not as you guys described. No cowboy hats, no big beer bellies. The regulars we had fell under two categories, simps and predators. Most of the time.
I love this. Yeah. That's exactly what
I thought.
He
was going to say yuppies. I thought some like yuppies wearing tennis shorts were coming in regularly.
No. I say, Barnaby, shall we get some Hooters wings? Oh, what fuck?
I thought it would be more like
with
the
their fucking
Michael
sweaters
Scott
tied
within.
Around their shoulders and stuff.
Oh my god.
So, the simps and predators. Most of them are simps. Weedy, nerdy boys. Brackets Lewis.
What the fuck? What about this casual roast? What the fuck? I look better than Lembic Opic. I could date a fucking cheeky girl. If what? Look at him. Look at his stupid face.
I know.
Oh,
man.
All right. Oh. It's all right. Who knew that coming in and spending money, tipping, and buying gifts would get them tons of attention from the girls? Some regulars had gone far enough to pay for the full college tuitions for some
of the girls.
And the girls loved it, especially compared to our second category, the predators. These regulars were guys who clearly used to be hot shit, or at least viewed themselves as such. So they would come in, harassing the girls, thinking that the negging would lead to some sexual satisfaction. The girls all knew that this is what they were like and would not take them seriously, going as far to warn any new girl hired immediately, oh, this guy grabs asses and this guy will try to take pictures of your tits. Pretty gross. So here are some stories we could ask for a follow-up here from Dylan. Here are the subjects would be, how much would you spend for a pair of worn panties? And how many people can swingers fit on their pleasure craft?
Please let
us know some more about that.
Fucking hell.
How many people can swingers fit on their pleasure craft?
Why are there so many weirdos out there? Like, is this crazy? It's a staggering amount of weirdos. It's just, it's such a shame.
And pervs.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, sorry. That's who I was talking about. Weird pervs.
Yeah. I mean, you get some people that are just weird, but you also get some people who are weird and problematic. And I think those are the ones that you got to watch out for.
You do get some people. I don't want to say weird, but when we were in London, me and my entire family, we stepped into a lift to, we were using the underground. We were in a step-free underground, which was nice because, we had like the, we had the stroller for our youngest who was just sick of walking and stuff. So it's easy to get around, but we stepped into this elevator and there was a man in there, reciting like prayers, I guess. He had like some beads and he was just saying the same thing over and over again. But he was like still kind of interacting with us, you know. He was like, he would like nod his head to let us like get by and stuff. Cause we were like in a bit of a rush. We were trying to catch a train. But my kids were just like, I had to say after, like, don't stare at people, like, especially if they're doing something that you're not used to or whatever. Like, he was harmless, but it was very, like, for them, out of the ordinary. You know what I mean? And it was just, it was weird because we live in such a small place. We live in Jersey. We don't really see a lot of different stuff. So I was very sort of aware of how deer in the headlights my kids are to like so many things out in the wider world that I have some at least experience with. I'm not saying that I was like cool as a cucumber, like, you know, I don't see that every day. So when I see that, I'm like, oh, fuck, what's going on here? But, you know, you try not to let it show, sort of thing. But my kids were just like, they looked like they were about to burst into tears. Like, we only went up one floor and he got off. But like, he seemed pleasant. He was just really reciting the same three or four words over and over. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know if that's, you know, if it's like the fact that he wasn't like anywhere praying or anything either, that, you know, he's just in a lift and walking around and stuff. I would love to know what that is, or if that is just somebody's, you know, I don't have time to actually pray, I'm just gonna walk around and do it like a million times or something, or what.
Yeah,
I don't
let
know.
Us know. Yeah. if you're a prayer, yeah, let us know what
I don't know
is.
I don't know the language either. It was not English though. It was, I don't know what it was, but
I someone did tell me that originally in Islam you had to pray 50 times a day,
right?
Like the whole thing,
right?
And then they were like, this is ridiculous, we should trim it a bit, and now I think it's 5,
right?
I could be wrong, but yeah, 50 times a day, you do nothing but, and you got to wash every time, and like get the mat and do the whole palaver.
Yeah, it was interesting. He was saying the same four words like over and over quite quickly, but he was still like, you know, like I said, he was like letting us by. He was like, you know, nodding like when
was he saying Om Nam Shivai, Om Nam Shivai, Om Nam Shivai, like in Temple of Doom?
It was something like that. Yeah, it was very similar to that. But like immediately, I could see my kids were like, what is this? You know, like they were like just almost frozen. Like it was, you know, but.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know any religious people and you don't spend time around them, being confronted with people who are really religious is actually quite alarming.
I suppose,
like, oh,
shit. Yeah. But
like, I don't want to piss you off or upset you or you know, what are you going to do next?
Yeah.
What's going on? Like, it just, to me, it's like a whole different species when you meet someone who's super religious.
Super religious, yeah.
I just can't understand it at all.
Yeah.
Anyway. So this is for you, Sips, from Alex, a tiny dick owner. Sips has said at least once, more,
That
going on holiday with your family isn't a holiday, and when you get back, you need a holiday for your holiday.
It's true.
Like
I mean, sometimes it's true. It's not always true. Depends on the holiday.
I've always brushed it off as a tired dad is tired no matter what or where he is. But I've just come off a holiday with my grandparents, and no word of a lie, that shit is frustrating.
Yeah.
My granddad can't walk more than 100 meters before his feet hurt, and my grandma was in every shop looking to buy stuff for the grandkids. I wanted to see the sights of Malta, but these two weighed me down like a ship's anchor.
Yeah.
Anyway, rant over. Whilst there may not be children, old people are a whole new set of problems. I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah. I mean, it is just, I think if you've ever been on a vacation before by yourself or with your partner, and you become accustomed to that pace of vacation, you know, I want to go to a city, I want to see stuff, I want to actually spend time in the hotel room that I'm paying for, relaxing. You know, these are all reasonable things to expect from a vacation. None of those things happen if you go with three kids. Like, I know what I'm getting myself into. I'm not under any, like, you know, false illusions or whatever, but it is more work being out of the house with three kids than it is just staying home with three kids. And it's much more expensive as well. I mean, you got to pay like 5 airfares. You know, like even like a child who is above 2 years old is full fare. So it is 5 airfares to get there. It's tons of work. If you have a really small kid, like we've been away recently and it's better because my youngest is now more or less toilet trained, you know, well off of like, you know, formula and needing, you know, baby stuff. You know what I mean? Like we could just pack her some clothes. We just bring like a couple of baby wipes in case, you know, she shits her pants or whatever. And and it's a lot. There's a lot less paraphernalia to take now. So it's easier. But when they're small, holy shit.
At the different age, right? Each different age is its own difficulty, right? Yeah, like if they're a baby, then oh my God, I guess you're always looking for a changing room, right?
Yeah.
Where you can like, and keeping that in mind. I remember walking one time with your son, you know, and this, like, even if it's just like it was just like the three of us or whatever. And there was like, I was like thinking, oh my God, you know, what if he just ran into the road right now, you know, or something like that.
And sometimes
like
they
constantly
do.
Constantly on edge, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like, you know, you're freaking out because like there's all this thing. And then as they get older, I guess it's less difficult. It's certainly less difficult for you, P-Flex. I mean, I'm sure your kids can mostly do their own thing, right? But even then, like if they're young, like, you know, 11 or 12, you go on holiday, you can put them in the kids club, I guess, or whatever, and try and give them stuff to do for the day. We just don't do
those kind of holidays. So like when we went to France last year, it was me and my youngest that went into Monaco and hired a Twizy and drove around in it, because I'm not like, oh, I have to worry about her nap time and feeding her. Like, there's none of that.
No.
She's just like a young person who is fully capable and has things like, oh, I want to go look at that and I want to see that. So it's not like taking a baby where you're dragging them around. Both my kids are fantastic company when you go out with them individually.
Yes.
Together, they kind of wind each other up, and it's a bit of
Moving around and doing anything in a big group is always going to be kind of frustrating, right? Like, it is hard to keep everybody on like the same level. And you know what I mean? Like, when we're all together, there's always something, you know, like if we were going somewhere to see something, we would not be able to see it or enjoy it, because you're constantly like, stop picking your nose, stop doing that, you're going to kill yourself, get off that, do that. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's constant, because
it is constant.
None of them rein each other in any way. Like my kids are not like horrible either. Like they don't have meltdowns. That, you know, they're not screaming. They're not like plastered in, you know, dried up chocolate all over their face or anything like that. Like they're fine. Like they're really nice to go around with, but it is hectic. But like if I was just, if I went somewhere and just took one of my kids, it'd be amazing. You could, because then they're getting all of your attention. They're getting all your time, you know, and there's no issues or whatever. But when there's like five people, everybody is just at some point miserable. And it's tough to even just find places to stay in the first place. Like with five people, you know, if we want to stay in a room together, it's super expensive, or we have to get two rooms because most hotels have, you know, capacity, like maximum capacity for the fire code. So we're either getting two rooms or one big room. Not every hotel has one big room for five people. So, you know, you have to look around. Same with like even just stopping to eat. Like if we stop somewhere to eat, we need a big table for everybody to sit at. Like it's such a pain in the ass sometimes. You know what I mean? Like it's like little things that you don't really think of, but when you're already under a lot of pressure and you're just trying to like get everybody where they need to go and feed them and give them something to drink and all that, it's like every little thing, it's just like a death by a thousand cuts. You know, you get to the end of the day and you're just like, well, we made it, but I'm insane now. And then it just repeats itself the next day and the next day and the next day. Parts of it are super fun, but parts of it are super stressful.
Indeed.
Well, your kids are so broad in range in age. That's the thing. Right. Are we any more?
Let's do one more and then we'll call it. So this is from Kelly T, who signs off as Lady, age 30, Ohio, US, gaping vagina.
Wow.
So thank you, Kelly T. I'm writing to you whilst a little drunk and hiding in a restaurant bathroom. The incident happened a few minutes ago whilst watching my boyfriend at a comedy club open mic night.
I ordered dinner,
baked rigatoni and sausage, which I admit is a bold choice at a local bar.
It sounds good though.
Sounds okay, but I absolutely abhorred the sausage. It was overcooked, chewy, and the flavor was totally off.
Right.
The waitress came by, and upon seeing my leftover sausage on the plate, asked me how everything was. In this split second, I thought about one Perium Flax and his recent experiences at a restaurant where he told the waitstaff precisely why their food sucked. I looked at my waitress and honestly admitted my dinner was just okay. She frowned, took my plate, and didn't visit the table again until I asked for the check. I can't stop thinking about that moment. Why didn't I just do the polite thing and tell her it was fine? Update, I finally left the bathroom. However, to add insult to injury, I found out later that the waitress is the daughter of the owner, who also happens to be a comedian and is friends with my boyfriend. I feel like she definitely told the owner because he gave me dirty looks from the bar all evening. I fear I've potentially ruined my boyfriend's comedy career at this bar, at least. Anyway, just figured you'd laugh from my awkward encounter. Thank you, Kelly, fairly awkward, but good for you.
I mean, you know what I mean? You're going there. You don't have to be rude, but you don't also have to, you know, fake all the pleasantries and stuff. You have gone there and paid for that. You know, if it's not that good, you can just tell them and hopefully they'll make it better next time. It's not, it shouldn't be awkward. You know, you've gone somewhere, if you paid for something and you've not been rude about it, you've just said, oh, you know, it could have been better. You know, it's not the greatest. They should say, oh shit, okay, sorry, you know, we'll try harder next time, or, you know, maybe it was overcooked, you know. It's just feedback. But man, why, I don't know why people would get so you know, giving you like dirty looks and stuff like that. It's a bit,
that's what,
make
you get,
better food, you know, how about that, people.
I think maybe they don't even care. That's the, yeah, thing. I was just, by the way, I love, one of the things I love is these terrible baby names.
Man, I saw one
really
this
just
morning.
Shows how clueless
a baby named
humanity is.
Chernobyl.
Oh, no,
yeah,
way.
I swear to God. Yeah. There's a whole subreddit called Tragedy.
Tragedy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
it's
tragedy
on there.
Yeah.
It's a, it, I think it was a hot post from today. If you want to check,
yes,
it out.
Yes, I saw it as well.
Tragedy. And, fucking hell.
That's such a good name for a subreddit.
Oh, my
Tragedy,
God.
Yeah.
Chernobyl,
so,
Hope. My God.
Apparently, apparently it's real.
I forgot
the
it was Chernobyl Hope.
They said it was like, it sounded pretty. They heard it somewhere and it sounded pretty.
That is unbelievable.
God.
Oh, that is too much.
People,
too much.
People should not be able to name their children. The government just has a list and you're given a name on the list. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Save a lot of time and stress. Here you go. Choose from, like North Korea with the haircuts. You can choose from like a list of 10 haircuts.
Yeah.
It's the same with names.
It's like a character creator in a video game.
Yeah.
They should have those guidelines. 10 different haircuts. You can have like one of two body types, and there's definitely a character limit on your name, and you can't use any weird symbols and stuff like that. And if, yep, the name is taken already, you're just going to have to, I guess that's how you get in.
You get a number at the
that's
end.
That's how you get into the big tragedies. Everybody's going to, yeah, like, oh man.
No, then your name would be like Chris 484,
yes,
or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll do for emails. The next one we're going to do is going to be a weird eating special.
Right.
So send them in. You've got weird eatings, but remember,
wear your bibs. Get your barf bags ready.
Keep them choppy. Keep them nice and choppy and short. Nothing crazy.
I saw a man puking yesterday in public. He pulled his car over to the side of the road, opened the door, and just puked everywhere. Just thought I'd share. Anyway,
amazing.
Have a good day.
Damn.
Thanks so much for listening. And see you next time.
See you next time.
Goodbye.
Try for.